Hallelujah. All right, we are talking about Galatians. Galatians. And you could title this book of the Bible, Free at Last. Free at Last, thank God Almighty, we're free at last. All right, so Jesus Christ has died, he's been raised from the dead so that we can be free. And Galatians tells us about that freedom, to stand fast in that liberty, but also gives us the incredible responsibility of what it's like to live as free men and free women, because there is a responsibility. So last week, we didn't get very far. I think we're going to get much farther this morning. All right, just help me stay on topic. All right, don't let me get distracted. Okay, but We mentioned that Galatia was a region. It wasn't just one city. Paul had gone there twice. He was the first person to bring the gospel to them. Then he went back again and helped strengthen the church and the disciples there. And what he found was there was a group of people called Judaizers. And they had come behind him and were, in a sense, correcting his gospel message and the truth about Jesus Christ. And Judaizers were believers who had a past of being Jewish, all right? So they were raised Jewish, met Jesus, and because their Jewish culture was so entrenched in their identity, they couldn't let go of the things that they were supposed to let go of. And they were enforcing non-gospel messages upon Gentiles who had never lived Jewish, all right? And so they were forcing them to get circumcised, and they were saying, you're not really a Christian unless you follow these parts of the Jewish law. And really, they were rejecting the gospel, these Judaizers. And their message was causing these Galatians who were born again, walking in this freedom of Jesus, to go get in bondage, even though Jesus had made them free. All right, and so when we read Paul and what he's saying to them, Paul is very upset. He's upset at the Judaizers. Okay, it's amazing some of the things he said. You know, probably in a couple of weeks, I would advise you don't bring your 5-year-old child to church because of some of the language. For real, the language that Paul uses is quite shocking. All right, but the problem with the Judaizers was that they couldn't distinguish where their culture stopped and the gospel started, all right? And we talked a little bit about that last week, that culture is it's what we consider normal. And there are certain things that when we look at the Bible that's just neutral. And you know, hairstyle and you know the color of clothing we wear, kinds of food and different traditions like that. And so Those are good traditions, and they link us to our families. And then there are other parts of our culture, our upbringing, that we find, wow, it's actually in the Bible, all right? My dad didn't quote the Bible, but it's biblical. And so we said that really you need to found those good things on the Word of God, okay? Because how many know your relatives' words are not forever settled in heaven? The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. So we should put a Bible foundation to the good parts. But then the things that are not okay, all right, things like greed and selfish materialism, debasing and demeaning women, all different things all over the world, we need to reject it. We need to call it for what it is, and it is sinful, it is unbiblical, and we need to reject it. And if your auntie gets upset, that's okay. She didn't die for you. Only Jesus died for you. Well, but she's going to be upset. Yeah, but she won't kill you. It really will be fine. Okay, and I certainly had to stand up to just ungodly culture in my family. All right? And, you know, I don't have any scars. Okay, I've lived to tell about it. Message Bible puts it this way, Romans 12:2. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Thinking about what? Thinking about your culture and the Bible at the same time. Okay? Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging down you to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. All right? So the Judaizers just couldn't believe that people could be following God, following Jehovah, and not be circumcised. And they just couldn't handle it. So they added to the Word of God where the Word of God was silent. All right. So again, Paul's message was for our salvation. It is Jesus, his work, plus nothing. We cannot add to it. All right. And the Judaizers were saying Jesus plus circumcision. All right. So don't add anything to Jesus. Amen. We don't need to add to him. So again, Galatians is about our spiritual emancipation and that we are free. And then how can we live that way? All right. So in the first chapter, Paul is defending him, his message, and his apostleship. So the Judaizers were attacking not only what Paul said, but the fact, is he really an apostle? Is he really called by God? All right. And so if they could undermine his authority, then they could weaken his message. So what we see is Paul is defending his call and Paul is defending the content of his message. All right. Let's go to Galatians 1. All right. We got there earlier than last week. Okay. Galatians 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. All right, so in verse 1, he's already stating why he is an apostle. And all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia, grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. It was evil back then too, wasn't it? According to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Okay, so in a lot of other writings that Paul had, other epistles, he would say, I'm an apostle by the will of God, okay, called by God. Here he says, I'm called not by men or through men, okay, and he explains this a little bit further. The New Living Translation says it this way, I was not appointed by any group of people or human authority. All right, so it wasn't a group of people that had an election and said, well, Paul should be an apostle, or he's got the look of an apostle, he's got the personnel, we'll make him an apostle. He said, no. See, people will recognize a call, that's biblical, but they can't give you a call. All right, that has to come from heaven. The Message Bible puts it this way, my authority for writing you does not come from the popular vote of the people, nor does it come through the appointment of some human higher up. It comes directly from Jesus the Messiah and God the Father who raised him from the dead. All right. So Paul was very bold about stating this. And he was bold about stating this because there were other people, these Judaizers, that were trying to undermine that very truth. All right. So he greets them. He says, I'm called by God, not by men. And if you look at other parts of Paul's writings, he typically kind of thinks like a lawyer, and he writes like a lawyer, and he makes a case, and then there's application. If this is true, then this is true. All right. Galatians is a little different. It's very personal. All right. So he says, hi, it's Paul. Remember me. I'm called by God. Verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of God to Christ, to a different gospel. All right. If this was Pastor William, he'd say, I'm shocked. I'm shocked. By the way, he and Claire are preaching today. A group of churches have come together, asked him to preach. It's going to be awesome. I think they're getting started just now at 9:00. All right. But Paul is saying, I marvel. Other translation says, I'm amazed. All right, let's keep reading. Verse 7, which is about this different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Paul, tell us how you really feel. All right. Verse 9. As we have said before, and so I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what we have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, would I be a bondservant of Christ? So Paul said, I'm not writing this to you so that you'll like me or win a popularity contest. I'm writing this to you because I care and this is important. But go back to verse 6. This is quite amazing. All right, so let's think about this. The church at Galatia, all right, we're born again. Oh, but you're not really born again. Go get circumcised. Oh, okay, all right. Well, some people might say, well, you know, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? You know, they're still born again. All right, it's not necessarily sinful what they've been asked to do. It's in the Old Testament. All right, so what's wrong with this? All right, what's wrong with, you know, getting dirt from Israel, from the Holy Land, and sprinkling it in your garden because now you've got magic dirt from the Holy Land? When I was in Israel last year, I could have come back to Zambia a millionaire. Rocks from Jericho. The dirt from the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh my goodness. Prayer shawls blessed by a rabbi. Woo! Okay. So what's wrong with it? Pastor, you're so picky about these things. No. Listen. What was Paul's reasoning? I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him, from Jesus, from God himself. Doctrinal perversion is not just a minor technicality, all right, where we give you a yellow card, all right, for end time violation. Write your name down. You know, misuse of the prophetic anointing. We write your name down. Okay. It's not a technicality. Wrong doctrine causes you to turn from Jesus, from a person, your Savior, your God. Wrong doctrine that is not based on Jesus and his work causes you to turn from him, from the very God who died for you, the one who gave his grace for you, the only one who can help you. He is the only Savior of the world. And so when we are deceived by an unbiblical doctrine, a non-New Testament-based doctrine, we are turning from Jesus. That is a big deal. That is huge, and that is the basis of Paul's, of what's frustrating him and what's agitating him. All right, New Living Translation. Actually, this is the Pastor William version. I am shocked that you are turning away. That you are turning away so soon from God. Not from a message, not from good doctrine, from God. Good biblical doctrines lead you to Jesus. They keep you connected to Jesus. All right? So, again, when it comes from the pages of Scripture, comes from the Gospels, comes from the Epistles, it will lead you to Jesus. It will keep you connected to him. All right? Wrong doctrine leads you away from him. Okay? Let's use an example. I heard this even in Kenya. All right? It's all over the world. Okay? Most bad doctrine comes from America. All right. Gets amplified in West Africa. And then exported to the rest of the continent. Okay. But when you look at the label, typically made in the USA. All right. So there's a doctrine that says give a seed, financial seed, for your marital breakthrough. Give a seed so that you can break the curse of singleness. Okay, give a seed. A seed will meet a need. There's a seed for every need. No, there's not. No, there's not. That is not in the Bible. Okay, now, the Bible, very simply, the Bible refers to our giving as a seed that will multiply financially. Okay, so that is consistently in Scripture. All right, so it blesses people, it helps build the kingdom of God, and there is a, it can impact our future financially. Financially. All right. Giving money to receive God's blessing is witchcraft. Yeah. Simon the sorcerer in Samaria tried that. Peter and John, hey, how much can I want to buy this power. I want to buy this power. Okay. I don't know if you notice one of these silly anointed water that we have in Zambia. There was an anointed water, anointed, blah, 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 blah. It'll cure everything, you know. It actually had an expiration date. I'm not making this up. The truth is stranger than fiction. Yeah. So I wonder, does the water expire or does the anointing expire? I saw from Prophet, you know, one, whoever his name is, he's got, it's probably a good sales technique. He's got eight kinds of water. Water for barrenness, water for this, water for that, you know. And I would guess, you know, if you go to church and you go to the water table out at church, you know, and I would hope that if they're going to sell you the water for barrenness, that they check that you've got a marriage license. We don't want single people getting the water of fertility now, do we? That could really mess some things up, all right? So okay, what's the problem? What's the problem with all this? The problem is that all those things, all these problems that we face, who's the answer? Jesus is the answer. In Him is our salvation. And if I'm looking at water, I'm not looking at Jesus. If I'm looking at dirt from the Holy Land, or if I'm rubbing my prayer shawl, what did Jesus say? In that day, you'll ask the Father in my name. No prayer shawl is necessary. Oh, but it helps me. No, it doesn't help you. It doesn't help you. It turns you away from Him. Another doctrine, all right, we see in the Bible. Are there demons in the Bible? Sure, they're demons. Are they on every page? Absolutely not. I mentioned it, but you know, oh, there's a demon that's keeping my promotion. No, it might be that you didn't finish your bachelor's degree. Maybe go ask HR what is keeping you from your promotion. No, Pastor. It's a demon. There's a demon under here. There's a demon over there. Everything. A demon, 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 demon. Demon, 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 demon. There's an Ingwenya demon. You didn't think I knew that, did you? I'm shocked. So, now, if you've got a marriage problem, that is a problem, isn't it? It's a problem. How are you going to solve that problem? Well, you got to get to Jesus. You got to let Him help you. Man, husbands, you got to love your wife as Christ loves the church. How do you do that? Well, you better know Jesus' love. That means you got to get connected to him. You got to know him. You got to have a relationship with him. It's spiritual. It's from the wife's side. No, it's from your unrenewed mind. So we're turning away from him. We're turning away from him. All right. All over Africa, everybody wants a prophet who is Papa. My Papa prophet. Okay. The Bible says there is one mediator between God and man. And it's not your pastor. It's not the priest of the Old Testament. It's not seer one or prophet one or minor two. It is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Paul didn't say this in Galatia, but he said it to the church at Corinth. He said, because they were getting really into, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul. There are people that literally pray to the God of my father, the God of my papa, the God of my pastor. What? What is that doing? It is taking you away from him. What did Paul do? He says, I bow my knee to the Father of glory, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the mediator between God and man. We don't need a mediator. We're not under the Old Testament. We don't go through a priest. You want forgiveness? He's faithful and just. Confess it. Confess it to who? Confess it to God. He's faithful and just to forgive you. I absolve you, my child. I don't have that power. I don't have that power. And neither does any man. Now, again, it's not wrong. Oh, Pastor, you're always picking on prophets. No. It's taking you away from Jesus Christ. It's taking you away from the head. Okay? Seer one. Major one. Why do they always give themselves the number one? Huh? Why don't we have major 277? Seer 522. That actually would be biblical. Do you remember Paul said this? Of all the apostles, put them in a row, rank them, I'm the least. I'm the least of all the apostles. That's my claim to fame. What's my name? Pastor 987. That's how I roll. Oh, but he called me. He anointed me. He enabled me. It's not in your rank. There's no rank in the kingdom. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Taking you away from who? From him. From him. Amen. It matters what you believe. It matters why you believe it. It matters where it came from. Oh, it matters. Please forget my name and remember Jesus. Please remember his writings and his book. Amen. Paul said that also. He said, who's Paul? Who's Apollos? We are just people through whom you believe. Not through whom you get blessed or you tap an anointing. Go tap Jesus' anointing. Amen. All right. So the gospel is the message. The gospel. And so Paul refers to the message that I've received from God, the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. All right. And so sometimes when we think the gospel, we use that word and it's a gospel church and full gospel. Well, what is the gospel? All right. You'll find it in all of Paul's epistles. He defines what is the gospel. All right. And just very simply, and so you can see components of this, you know, in different the Apostles' Creed and different church things in history where they would make a statement or a proclamation. But the gospel is that man is lost. Man is separated from God because of sin. That man's efforts can do nothing to change their lostness. Nothing. We are not saved by ourselves. God initiated our salvation by sending his son Jesus Christ. Jesus came in human form, born of a virgin. It's true, isn't it? Fully God, fully man. He lived a sinless life. he died, like he really died. He was buried, but on the third day he raised. God raised him from the dead. His work was a substitutionary work whereby the penalty for our sin was put on Jesus. Amen. And when God raised him to new life, we were raised together to new life. That we can go from spiritual death to spiritual life by believing on Jesus, by confessing him. That's how salvation is made real in our life. We make a public confession, personal Lord and Savior. Now that we are born again as a child of God, God gives us a standing with himself that is the same as Jesus. We're given his righteousness. Now that we are in this new life, God empowers us by the Holy Spirit to live a radically different lifestyle because of our connection to him. The Holy Spirit lives in us and empowers us. We have a lifestyle of faith towards God through Jesus Christ. We trust our Father to meet every need. Every need. We don't ever go through compromise or through sin to get a need met. We now live a new life of love towards one another. Love and sacrifice, reconciliation and service to the body of Christ and to those who are outside. When we do this, it glorifies God. We shine, okay? Now, that was a very brief synopsis of Paul's writings. That is the gospel. That's the gospel. You must know it for yourself. You must believe it for yourself. And you must interpret everything on the apostolic channel and the prophetic channel and the God channel and the Jesus channel. And if somebody hands you a Watchtower magazine, right? Or you see some flowery person walking on air, okay? What did Paul say? If an angel comes, and preaches a different message, reject it. Doesn't matter the message, the messenger, it's the content of the message that is vital. Oh, but they have signs and wonders. So what? So did Pharaoh's magicians. Huh? You can do anything on TV today as well. Yeah, there's a guy in America. He'd call you out of the crowd. You from Cobway. Quacha Road. He had an earpiece. His wife was giving him the message. It was exposed on national TV, and he's still preaching on TV. Yeah. Now, does everyone who does that, are they all false? Of course not. But you can falsify miracles. Okay? So, is the message the gospel? All right? When you hold biblical beliefs deeply, you become strong, but you also become immune to false doctrine because you already know it. You already know it. All right, so when somebody says, hey, Pastor, I got this water for your marriage. Well, I don't need that because I've already got the answer. It's working when I do it. Right? When I act like the Bible, my marriage goes great. And when I don't, it's my fault. Amen. So, just keep your water. All right? When the message changes, it's no longer the gospel. It's entirely something different. Read and study your own Bible. Read and study. Heard somebody say this in Kenya. Ooh, I like this. The Bible says study to show yourself approved. You can't do that on Sunday at church. That means you better be with your Bible during the week studying it, looking up scriptures, understanding. When the devil came for Jesus, Jesus was able to say, "It is written," because he learned the Bible for himself. All right? Go to connection groups. Dig deeper on your beliefs. Come to School for Life classes. If your time allows, go to Rhema. Get grounded in the Word of God. This church will allow you to do that, but it will not ever do it for you. Because that's your job. It's not my job. All right? So, let's keep reading. So, Paul is saying, man, I can't believe you're turning from him. This wrong message caused them to lose sight of their Savior. And so can messages today. All right? Verse 11. Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. I received my message from no human source, and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. You know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion, how I violently persecuted God's church. I did my best to destroy it. I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for the traditions of my ancestors. But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. When this happened, I did not rush out to consult with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to consult with those who were apostles before I was. Instead, I went into Arabia, kind of the desert, all right? And later I returned to the city of Damascus. Then, 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to get to know Peter and stayed with him for 15 days. The only other apostle I met at that time was James, the Lord's brother. I declare before God that what I am writing to you is not a lie. After that visit, I went north into the provinces of Syria and Cilicia, and still the Christians in the churches in Judea didn't know me personally. All they knew, listen to this, all they knew was that people were saying, the one who used to persecute the church is now preaching the very faith he tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me. They praised God because of me. Now, what about me? Well, he made it real clear. What happened in me was the grace of God. It was the change of God. It was the transformative power of God. But they saw this change in me. They saw God in me. And they didn't praise Paul. They didn't applaud him. But when they saw Paul and God, what he had done in Paul, they praised God because of him. All right? They praised God because of me. I want you to ask a question right now to yourself. When is the last time that you are aware of? Because Paul was aware of this, wasn't he? He knew about their response. He said, they praise God because of me. When was the last time people gave thanksgiving to God because of you? When was the last time they saw something in you, or there was a deed, there was an act that you performed, and they thanked God? When was the last time that happened? If you can't remember, God wants to do more in your life. He wants to show more of Jesus through you. And he can, he wants to, all right? But you're going to need to do some more yielding to him. You're going to need to have his light come more clearly through you. You see, a lot of people, and even Christians, are very happy for people to praise me because of me. Oh, it's that flesh. It's that old nature. The applaud and the praise of man. Oh, thank you, thank you. It's nothing. It really is a lot, but it's nothing. Oh, people live on it like a drug. Paul said, you know what, man, you know what was really awesome? People praised God because of what they saw in me, what Jesus did in me, and all the things that happened in my life, all right? For others to see God's obvious and evident hand upon your life and your lifestyle, that's what God wants. Take off the bumper sticker. Remove the Jesus pin. Don't have to go to work with a huge Bible. Playing Hillsong music for your computer while you steal from your company, playing Facebook for 5 hours. I don't think they hired you to do that. Yeah. Others need to see Jesus in your life. We are the only Jesus on the earth. Jesus is not glorified in an edifice. This building never saved anyone. Nobody ever said, oh, thank you, Jesus, what a beautiful building. No. You are God's house. You are God's building. You are the container of the Holy Ghost. Amen? It's God's plan for your life. 2 Corinthians 9:11, Paul mentioned this about a group of Christians, and it was through their financial sacrifice that this happened. 2 Corinthians 9:11, yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. Enriched by whom? By God. He'll help you. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. They will thank who? They'll thank God. A lot of people, when they give gifts, they want to be thanked themselves. That's the payoff. Okay? So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. The goal of serving, the goal of giving, is that people thank God, not you. Not you. Maybe you're a parking lot worker. All right, you get here early, you stay late. All right, and you really are in spiritual warfare out there. Sorry, ma'am. We can't park there. Then the creature. I'm sure she's a visitor. So you give and you serve and you get wet and you're in the sun and you... I remember when my son was doing it, he said one time, they were tired, we didn't have paving, and they would get under Muna Singh's 4x4 and they'd sleep under the shade in between services, you know. So no one thanked me. No one noticed me. I feel very unappreciated. Okay. Now, is it good to give thanks to people? Absolutely. We should do that. All right, I encourage you to do that. But on the other hand, if you are serving and you need people to notice you, you're not doing it as unto the Lord. How dare you say that? Oh. He said it. All right. We work unto the Lord, not unto man. Okay. The goal of serving is for people to notice Jesus, not you. Not you. I know a pastor, one of the most successful pastors in the whole world, and he made this statement, and I'm not saying this is gospel truth, but he said, you know, when I preach, I wear gray, black, or blue. Because I don't want anyone talking about what I'm wearing. I don't want that to be an issue. It's not a fashion show. It's not a fashion show. And I hope we do that on our stage, right? Our praise and worship people and everything. I mean, there's Red Day and there's Black Day and there's Chitanga Day, whatever, you know. But it's not like we're up here dressed to kill, you know. Striking a pose, all right? If you get mad that no one's thanking you, your heart's not in the right place. I mean, that's why we have Mother's Day. It's because most kids don't every day, oh, Mommy, thank you for this beautiful porridge. It's cooked just the way I like it. Thank you for getting up early. No, and there are lumps in it, Mommy. It's cold. It's too hot. It's a thankless job. Do it under the Lord. Do it for eternity. Do to put something in them, not to get anything out of it. Amen. Paul gives more about his message and his background to show that it's from the Lord. And we'll close here. Galatians chapter 2. Woohoo! Chapter 2. We made it. Okay. Thank you for not distracting me today. Galatians 2, verse 1. Then 14 years later, I went back to Jerusalem again, this time with Barnabas, and Titus came along too. I went there because God revealed to me that I should go. And while I was there, I met privately with those considered to be leaders of the church and shared with them the message I had been preaching to the Gentiles. I wanted to make sure that they were in agreement for fear that all my efforts had been wasted and I was running the race for nothing. And they supported me and did not even demand that my companion Titus be circumcised, even though he was a Gentile. And all the leaders in Jerusalem were former Jews. Okay, they came from a Jewish background. Even that question came up only because of some so-called Christians there, false ones really, okay, got fake news and fake Christians, right, who were secretly brought in. They sneaked in to spy on us and take away the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. They wanted to enslave us and force us to follow their Jewish regulations, but we refused to give in to them for a single moment. We wanted to preserve the truth of the gospel message for you. And the leaders of the church had nothing to add to what I was preaching. By the way, their reputation as great leaders made no difference to me, for God has no favorites. Instead, they saw that God had given me the responsibility of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, as he had given Peter the responsibility of preaching to the Jews. All right, so different in callings and audiences. Verse 8, for the same God who worked through Peter as the apostle to the Jews also worked through me as apostle to the Gentiles. In fact, James, Peter, and John, who were known as pillars in the church, recognized the gift of God had given me, and they accepted Barnabas and me as their co-workers. They encouraged us to keep preaching to the Gentiles while they continued their work with the Jews. Their only suggestion was that we keep on helping the poor, which I've always been eager to do so. All right? So, when God has anointed you and commissioned you, and for Paul, this was a preaching ministry assignment, all right? But I believe that God commissions many people to do many different things, all right? Now, we all have something to do in the body of Christ, to give and to serve, all right? But God commissions people in the marketplace. He commissions them in other areas of life. God may commission you in politics or governance, all right, in teaching, certain areas like that. But if God commissions you, then please note there will be a human confirmation. Okay? So if you believe that, you know, you are called to be a gospel singer, and the only one who has confirmed your call is your mother, that's a problem, right? Okay, so the fruit of God's commissioning, of his enabling, the fruit will eventually come out, all right? And that's why you really don't need a title to do anything. Just do it and let people call you whatever they're going to call you. And then there are obviously some things that they call you that you don't even know, that are not so nice, okay? But let God's hand be functional, not positional, all right? When in Romans, when Paul's talking about different gifts that God gives, I love what he says. And if God called you to lead, lead. If he called you to leadership, do it. Don't talk about it. Don't put it on your business card, all right? Met a guy one time in an unnamed city in our nation. He was an arch-apostle. One church of 60 people, and he was an arch-apostle. I don't know where he got that. God bless him. It's on his business card. All right. Rather, go start 100 churches, and then we'll go, I think he's an apostle. That's pretty good. That's the fruit. That's the labor. Amen. Have the fruit of Jesus. Have the fruit of the Spirit. Have the fruit of being a dad or a mom. If and it's kind of a general rule in life. If you kind of have to tell us you're one, you're probably not. I'm a very successful businessman. What fruit? I'm successful in my mind. Okay, well, no. We're going to see it in your lifestyle. Amen? Hallelujah. God's called me to lead. Well, look behind you. Who's following you? And following you for God's purposes and God's destinies. Amen? So follow God's plan. Follow God's plan. Stay with the Jesus-centered message of the New Testament, of the Gospels, of the Epistles. And when you read the Old Testament, and you must, and you need to, let it point you to Jesus and Calvary, not Sinai. We have a new mountain. Don't go back to a temple that doesn't even exist. I went there. It's not there. Okay? I can confirm it's gone. All right? The Bible says that God took that system and he made it obsolete. And he gave us a new covenant. Do you know your gospel? Do you know what the scripture says about Jesus and about you and your relationship to him? And how that can flow out? Have you allowed God's word to define light and darkness? Because we are living in a day and age where, you know, a group of people will come together and have a committee and say, we proclaim that dark is no longer dark. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. See, a human committee can't do that. Only God's word. Accept his standard for everything. Amen. And live connected to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you that, Lord, even though Paul wrote it to a group of people a lot of years ago, it's so relevant today, God. The world that we live in, and Father, the attacks that really are being made against your word and against the truth of Jesus and who he is and what he's done and what he has claimed, God, we really, it seems like we're under assault. So God, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, God, that they would be wise, that they would know Jesus, that they would know his word, that they would know the truth of the gospel, and that they would be grounded and settled and firm in this belief. God, that they would never be moved away from Jesus Christ. Father, we know we live in a world where there are a lot of lights, a lot of bells and whistles, a lot of distractions, God. But may we stay with Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our soon coming King, the one who changes us, the one who graces us. Father, help us. Help us, God. Lord, may these seeds from Galatians, Father, may they find wonderful root in our hearts. May they not be stolen. Your word that is alive. May not the distractions of this world or persecutions or the deceitfulness of riches, all the things we see that can kind of strangle out your word, God. May it grow 30, 60, 100-fold. May it produce a harvest of life with Jesus and a lifestyle with Jesus. Father, we thank you. We bless you today. We bless you today. With every head bowed, every eye closed, the whole Bible is about Jesus. We sang a song this morning. It comes from Colossians. All things he holds together. Everything was made through him and for him, Jesus Christ. This whole world has its center in Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes people don't believe that. They don't realize that. Or maybe they don't live that way. But friend, it's the truth. He is the Savior of the whole world. And this Jesus, this one who rose from the dead, this one who died but didn't stay dead, he wants to have a relationship with you. And it's not merely about church attendance or an adherence to a certain code. It's about a real relationship with a living Savior. He loves you. He cares for you. And the thing that we see from when he was on the earth is he can fix everything. He forgives sins. He heals diseases. He mends broken hearts. He puts lives back together. And there are people who have lived a life far more disastrous than yours, and Jesus has put it back together. He saved them. He's healed them. He's restored them. Some of them are in this room right now. They would tell you their testimony. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you can. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to come and introduce you to his Father, to be the Lord of your life. Well, how does that happen? Well, it doesn't happen through a religious exercise. It happens as the Bible tells us. You believe in your heart, then you make a confession with your mouth. And then the Bible says you are saved. You're new. Everything changes. It's really true. It happened to me. It happened to so many in this room. And today, God wants that to happen to you. He wants you to receive Jesus today. If you haven't, I want to pray with you. Before we pray, there may be another group of people. You're a believer, you're a Christian, but man, your life is just, it really is broken. It's a mess. There have been a lot of bad decisions, a lot of running away from God instead of running to God. And so you find yourself today really broken, hurting, and you can come home. Your Father will receive you. He'll forgive you, and he'll make things right. Man, don't stay another day running from God. Come home today. If that's you on either one of these situations that I talked about and you say, man, that is me. I need Jesus. I need to come home today. Let's pray so that we can pray together. If that's you, simply raise up your hand. Just wave it at me. Lift it real, real high. Just wave it at me. Say, that's me. That's me. Anybody? Just say, I need to make that decision today. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Who else? Who else? Say, that's me. He loves you. The Bible says he saves to the uttermost. You've never done anything so bad that he won't forgive you. Anyone else before we pray? Say, Pastor, that's me. I need to make this decision today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet before we go. Let's stand. If you lifted up your hand, or you should have lifted up your hand, you didn't, but you should have, just come and meet me up front. Grab your Bible, your belongings. Just come and meet me up front right now. Amen. Let's give, I know there's one. Just give him a hand clap. Just let him know we love him. Just be bold. Be bold and say yes to Jesus. Your life will never, never, never be the same. God bless you, sir. Thanks for coming. So glad you made this decision. Now, if I wanted to give you that as a gift, right, you would just receive it. So what God has for you, forgiveness, a new life, it's a spiritual gift from heaven. So why don't we just lift up our hand toward him right now. Just say this prayer with me. Say, God, I believe you love me. You sent Jesus to die in my place. He was raised from the dead so I could know you. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. I repent of wrong things. I follow you now for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus. I belong to you. I'm in your family.